Okay, Parshas Chayesara, another action-packed Parsha, 105 Pesukim. Lots going on in Parshas Chayesara. Okay, let's begin with Perichav Gimel Pasuk Yud Tes. Is that going to cause a ruckus?
No, that's okay. Good.
Yeah, you sure?
Yeah. It's not too kind.
Really?
We're good.
Okay. Amazing. Okay, how does Parshas Chayesara begin? It begins by recapping the life of Sarah, 127 years. Right, again, Rashi, based on the Medrash, explains 127. The truth is, the Ramban in the first piece, I'm going to mention a few pieces in passing that we're not going to see inside, but the Ramban in the first piece says, that's not, to write 127 is actually normal. It's not only by Sarah, it's by Avraham, it's by Ishmael also. So don't be overwhelmed by the fact that it's 100 years, and right? They say Shana, Shanim. Yesterday we said from the Zohar an interesting explanation why it goes from Shana in the singular to Shanim in the plural. But the Ramban says that's not really anything unusual. We find that in many places in the Torah. The part that Chazal were really picking up on to recognize that she lived multiple lives is actually the end of the Pasuk where it says what? Shnei Chayesara. That's the part that tips us off that Sarah had many lives. And that's what led Chazal to say, 100 like 20, 20 like 7, etc. But that's just a good example of how the Ramban was sensitive to the Pashup Pshat also. The Pashup Pshat of saying Shana and Shana and Shana and breaking up the 120 and 7, again, is not unusual. You find it by Yishmael, and certainly by Yishmael, the punchline is not Kulan Shavin Letova. You're not going to say by Yishmael the same thing you said about Sarah, you may know. Okay? And then the Pasuk says that Avraham came, by Yavo Avraham, Avraham came to Bimaspit Sarah. Right? Sarah passed away, Bikiras Arba, he Chevron, Be'eretz Kanan. Avraham comes to give a hesped. Rashi says he came from Be'er Sheva. It's a whole interesting discussion exactly where were Avraham and Sarah living at the time of the Akedah. Where did Avraham come back to after the Akedah? And part of that whole discussion, the Ramban says, is when did Sarah actually die? So most of us grew up probably with the Medrash, which the Ramban quotes, which is what? Sarah heard about the Akedah and she died. She was overwhelmed. Even within that, there's different schools of thought. She died out of the intense emotional fear of it. She died a holy death. You find in some Sfarim interesting approaches what that means, that she died because of that. The Ramban doesn't think that's actually the Pashup Pshat. The Ramban thinks that actually they were living in Be'er Sheva. That's where Avram was told to go to do the Akedah. Avram comes back to Be'er Sheva. She does not die right away. Later they move to Chevron. And sometime later, Sarah dies in Chevron. So what does it mean, Vayavo Avraham? Avram came to give a hesped for his wife. The Ramban says, no, it doesn't mean that he came. He didn't travel from somewhere else. And he was with Sarah. And he presented himself to give a hesped. But according to the Ramban, he thinks that Avram and Sarah were living in Be'er Sheva. Yitzchok was born in Be'er Sheva. Be'er Sheva was the place that they were told about the Akedah. And sometime later, after the Akedah, they moved to Hebron. And at some point, Sarah passed away. Which again is certainly less dramatic than what most of us grew up with, right? Which is Sarah dying from the Akedah. Okay, Chazal had that different interpretation according to the Medrash, which means that they had moved to Chevron earlier. That Avram and Sarah had already been living in Chevron, which is also interesting, that they had relocated to Chevron. Okay, so then Avram turns to the local Chevra, and he says, listen, Ger v'toshav anochi imachem. Avram says, I'm a Ger and I'm a Toshav. What's a Ger? What's a Toshav? I'm a foreigner, but I'm also a settler. In other words, I wasn't always from here, but now I'm from here. Now I like living here. And Avram says to them, I want to find the proper place, an achuzas kever, to bury my wife. The Ramban explains, what's an achuzas kever? Ramban says, again, just pashup pshat, the Ramban says that there's people who had special familial burial plots, and then there was kind of like the general cemetery. If you were in chashev, you were buried in the general cemetery. If you were chashev, you had achuzas kever. You had a special burial plot. Avram says to the people, listen, I'm new-ish in town. I consider myself a Toshav. I'm here to stay, at least for the time being. I'm not just passing through. but I don't have a special burial plot, but I can't, Avram says, I can't bury Sarah in just some regular place. She's not a regular woman. And what's the response of the B'nai Ches? What do they say back to Avram? Avram, you're a prince of God. Shma'enu Adoni Nasi Elokim Ata B'Sochenu. They say to Avram, no, don't, we know who you are. You're a chashav guy. You can take whatever plot of land you want. In other words, Avram has this reputation. We'll see. We're going to read him inside. Again, this is part of the fulfillment. What did Hashem tell Avram when he comes to Eretz Yisrael? Agad Lashem Echa. You're going to be big time. Everyone's going to know who you are. And you see that being fulfilled here when they say to Avram, you don't have to beg us for a burial. You don't have to try to convince us. Listen, I'm not really from here, but now I'm from here. I don't have a special burial plot, but I can't imagine burying Sarah in just a regular spot. He gives this whole song and dance, and they say to him, whoa, take whatever you want. You're a godly man. You're a holy person. Take whatever you want. So Avram says, okay, the truth is I have my eye on a particular plot of land that belongs to Ephron. So he starts to negotiate with Ephron. They set the price at 400. The Ramban says, according to Unkelis, it sounds like that was the actual price. And the Ramban quotes a Gemara in Bava Metzia that sometimes towns have a certain, you know, official means of assessing the value of a piece of land. Or it could be 400 Shekel Kesef is Ephron's inflated price because he's trying to take advantage of Avram. Or it could be the Ramban says that maybe that was the price that Ephron paid for it originally. So he says, this land, which is Arba Mele Shekel Kesef, what I paid 400 for, I'll flip it to you for the same price. Okay, so different approaches, again, what that number was about. Okay, but now we come to Perachav Dalit Pasuk Yud Tes, which is where I want to start inside together. So let's take a look. Vitam va'achare chen kavar Avram es Sarah ishto. You see it? One page. Perachav Dalit. Sorry, Perachav Gimel, I apologize. Perachav Gimel Pasuk Yud Tes.
End of Perachav Gimel.
Hey, Sadi Ches on the bottom right. Vitam va'achare kein kavar Avraham esara ishto el maris de hamachpelah hi chevron beretz Kanaan. So after all the negotiations are done and everything's worked out, so it says that Avram buries Sarah in the maris de hamachpelah, and where is that in Chevron? And where is that in Eretz Kanaan? We know that already. Why are you chazering over the location of the burial plot? Says the Ramban, Kishov Levaer Hasadeh V'Hamakom V'Aretz. The pasuk goes back to clarify the field, the place, the land, all the details. Why? Ba'avur ki kol ha'parsha hizkira b'nei ches ve'efron achiti. Because we just spent many psukim with Avram negotiating with the b'nei ches, and Avram talking to Ephron achiti. And there's a lot of back and forth. Lefichach, therefore, says the Ramban, Hizkir b'sof, ki hu be'eretz Kanaan, asher hi eretz Yisrael. The Ramban says, the Chumash goes back and reminds us, hold on a second, after everything is said and done, what are we talking about? Where are we? What's the point of being buried here? Let's remind ourselves, we're talking about eretz Yisrael. You might have forgotten about that along the way. You're so busy with the negotiations that you forgot we're talking about eretz Yisrael. You might think, well, Ephron is B'nei Ches, you might forget where we are. You might think that maybe there's another Mamre that's, you know, outside of Kanaan. Is that so crazy? I don't know. We had a Tosos in Gittendav Bezim at Aleph. Right? There might be more than one place called, you know, Rechem and Cheger. There might be different, divide Akko in half. You know, there's all sorts of ways to... So we remind ourselves, hold on a second. We're talking about Eretz Yisrael. Let's get back to the main thing. We got so busy negotiating the contract that we forgot what we're talking about. I like this Ramban. I don't want to be like too, you know, poetic with this Ramban, but I think there's like a Musar here also, you know? Like we forgot about Eretz Yisrael. We forgot for a second. We're so busy with like the practical details that we forgot for a second. Hold on a second. Sarah is about to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, and we'll see. He's going to write. That's a big schus. V'chein amber b'tchilas ha'parsha b'kiryas arba hi chevron be'eretz Kanaan. V'chol zeh levayer, and all of this is to make it abundantly clear to us. Ki atzadekes meis of Eretz Yisrael, v'sham nikbra. It's a schus. When a person gives back their neshama in Eretz Yisrael, that's a schus. And being buried in Eretz Yisrael is a schus. And realize ki achita mi mishpachos Kanaan. Realize that all this is taking place in Kanaan, which is Eretz Yisrael. Don't lose sight of that fact, is what the Ramban is saying. The Torah wants us to recognize that fact. We should recognize what a schus it was that this righteous woman was nifteris in Eretz Yisrael and zocha to kvura in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Jump ahead just a couple of lines where it says, v'nichtava zos ha-parsha.
I see it on
the
here, but it's a separate paragraph.
Yeah,
you have a separate paragraph
on the left-hand column. V'nichtava zos ha-parsha lo hodiya chaste Hashem im Avraham shaya nasi elokim ba'aretz. We have to recognize the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to work things out for Avraham Avinu. We wrote all of these details to recognize the chaste Hashem. Look how HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided for Avram, that he's referred to as a nasi elokim ba'aretz, that he was treated like a princely person. Right? That Avram came to live there, v'hayochid v'chol ha'am hayukorin lo adoni. And everyone, the people collectively, the individuals, everyone's giving him this tremendous kavod. They're calling him my master, princely person. V'hu lo amar lahem kein shayasar v'gadol. Avram didn't come to town and say, oh, by the way, I'm a holy person, I'm a great theologian, I have the blessing of God. He didn't say any of that stuff. All he did was say, listen, you know, I want you to realize that I'm no longer just a ger who's passing through. I'm a toshav. I'm happy to pay the regular taxes in the community. I want to be treated like a regular person here. And therefore, I want to bury my wife in a chuzas kaver, in some type of, you know, nicer burial plot. But the response to him is, Avram, no, you don't, what? You don't have to, don't talk yourself down. Avram, we know who you are. Avram didn't talk himself up. But says the Ramban, you know why the Torah is writing this? All this back and forth? Avram's not demanding anything, and yet look how they're showering him with great honor, because this is a fulfillment in his lifetime of, I will make your name great, and you will be a source of bracha. V'ishta mesa v'nikra v'nachlas Hashem. And for that reason, yes, Sarah flies first class. Sarah gets buried in the best spot. She gets buried in the Nachla of Hashem. More than that, you know what all these details are teaching us? The Ramban says something else which is very interesting and important. V'od ki ratza lahodienu makom kvuras avos. The Torah is also giving us precise geographical locations. It's reminding us of the geographical locations of where the avos are buried. Ba'asher anachnu chayavim lechaved makom kvuras avosenu akadoshim. Because it's important for us to what? To give kavod to these holy places. Places where tzaddikim are buried, the Ramban says, need to be honored, need to be taken care of. I was zocher in my trip to Eretz Yisrael, I didn't make it to too many burial spots of holy people, but I went to Kever Dan, Dan Ben Yaakov. Sheva Dan. Person, Dan. Dan Ben Yaakov. I've never been there before. Anyone been there before? No, Risha guys haven't been there?
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was an amazing little spot. Right? I went there. You know, how did I give kavod when I was there? I don't know. A little candle. I said some tehillim. Put a few svarim back on the shelf. Tidied it up a little bit. That's a fulfillment of this. Right? A place where holy people are buried, specifically the avos especially, where chayiv l'chabed makom kuras avosenu kadoshim. To give kavod to that place. So therefore the Torah wants us to know a lot about this place. It's not in vain for the Torah to repeat and tell us more about exactly where Sarah is buried. And a little bit more than that concludes the Ramban, Rabbosinu Amru Shagam Zem in Nanisyonos Shal Avram, Shabikesh Makum Likvor Es Sarah, Velomatza Achakonosa. And furthermore, some believe that the burying of Sarah is also part of the Nisyonos of Yaakov, of Avram, I'm sorry. We usually think about Avram's 10 tests. We know the number 10, right? That we know. Sarah Nisyonos Nisnasa Avram Avinu. That's what it says in Pirkei Avos. The only one that's really called the test in the Chumash is what? Velokim Nisa Es Avraham. Okay, this is Yitzchak. We usually assume that's the 10th and final test. However, what was the first test? So, well, everything I'm saying is machlokas. We often think that Lech Lecha is the first test, and Lech Lecha is the last test. And there's a medrash like that. It starts with Lech Lecha me'artzecha, and it ends with Lech Lecha to the Akedas Yitzchak. The Torah says Lech Lecha by both. So the life of Avram, the Nisyonos of Avram, are bookended by Lech Lecha. But it could be that there were tests before Lech Lecha, such as Kivshameish being thrown into the fiery furnace. Do we count that? Some Rishonim do. And even more shocking, right? In some ways like anticlimactic, you know what the final test is? Maybe it's not Akedas Yitzchak. Rabbeinu Yonah says, and really Ramban's telling us Chazal already make reference to it, that maybe the final test is what? He's keeping his cool when he's dealing with an Ephraim. Working out a burial plot, making sure that Sarah is given the kavod that she deserves. Even though he's getting ripped off. Right? But Avram stays calm. They told him, take whatever you want. Next thing you know, they're charging him an exorbitant price. We're going to come back to that. We'll talk about that at that. Right? But Avram's ability to negotiate with this chevra, the B'nai Ches, and Ephron in particular, showed the incredible bitachon of Avram Avinu, the yitzhak hadas of Avram Avinu, at a time where he's mourning his wife. That's part of the nisayon as well. And that's part of why, again, all of this is being emphasized. Then the Ramban concludes, he says, V'lo yadati tam l'divrei Rabbi Avram. I don't understand what Ibn Ezra is saying. Sha'omer lohodia malas Eretz Yisrael l'chayim v'lameisim. Maybe all of the emphasis here is saying that Eretz Yisrael is gevaldik for people who are alive and even for people who are dead. That's why we're making a big deal out of Eretz Yisrael. It's an interesting discussion in halacha. Is it good to be buried in Eretz Yisrael? So you'll say, what do you mean? Of course it's good. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you die in Chutz La'aretz, is it appropriate to bring your dead body to Eretz Yisrael? Maybe that's disrespectful. Maybe that's holy. A lot of interesting literature about that. But the Ibn Ezra says, you see from here, there's value to Eretz Yisrael, both in life and in death. And also this is the fulfillment of Hashem's promise that Eretz Yisrael will be given to Avram and his family. But says the Ramban, I don't really think that emerges from here. You know why? Because first of all, this is not getting all of Eretz Yisrael. This is Avram buying a small piece of land. So you don't see the fulfillment of Eretz Yisrael belonging to the Jews in this. And furthermore, he buried Sarah there. So you see the value in being buried in Eretz Yisrael. Did he have another choice? That's where they were living. Or was he going to take her somewhere else? It's not like a person died in New York and they brought them to Eretz Yisrael. From here we see the chashivas of even burial in Eretz Yisrael. Avram buried her locally. So the Ramban says, I don't think Ibn Ezra was, finding a little bit too much, look at the greatness of Eretz Yisrael from these Pukim. But nonetheless, what we do see again is the chesed of Hashem to make Avram famous. That promise is being fulfilled. We see how the righteous Sarah is zochet to kvur in Eretz Yisrael. We see how we need to give kavod to the burial plots of our avos. And we see how Avram maybe was omid b'nisayon by negotiating this whole arrangement. Okay? Perach of Dalet. So now Perach of Dalet begins. Avram is old. V'Avram Zakein Baba Yamim. V'Hashem Berach Es Avram Bakol. Okay. Avram is old. And Hashem blessed Avram with everything. So take a look at the second paragraph on the next pasuk. Berach Es Avram Bakol. Okay, Chevra, first tell me. What does it mean Hashem blessed Avram Bakol? What do we know already? What does Rashi say? He had a son. Bakol, says Rashi, is Gematria Ben. So Avram had a son. What's about to happen in Perachov Dalit? Avram's going to try to find the Shidduch for his son. So that's why this is an appropriate introduction. Hashem blessed Avram with a son. What do you do when you have a son? What does the dad need to think about? Marrying off his son. So that's why the Pesukim continue. Avram says to Eliezer, "Nu, make a promise, find the Shidduch for Yitzchak." Bakol is Gematria Ben, says Rashi, 52. Hashem blessed Avram with everything. Everything means he had a son. Interesting. Okay. Says the Ramban, take a look. What Mendy said, not just a son. Bakol means everything. Bakol ba'osher unechasim v'kavod orech yamim uvanim. Avram has wealth. Avram has honor. Avram is blessed with old age. Avram has everything. Vizos kol chemdas ha'adam. And this is what every person desires, no? What more do you want out of life? Baruch Hashem, he has financial stability. He's lived a long life. He has children. However, there's only one thing that Avram's missing. You know what he's missing? Grandkids. That's right. They say grandkids is the best. That's what they say. I don't know. I've never been a grandfather. I can't say. Mirtz Hashem. They say grandkids is the best. That's what they say. No? You see how people love their grandchildren. Right? It's the best. More than their own children, even on a certain level. Right? What do they say? What's the line that they say? What do they say?
Children without
the responsibility. Grandchildren is like children without the responsibility. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. As I say, grandparents and grandchildren are on the same team. Like they're both like, you know, they're both like against the parents a little bit, you know. The grandkid wants, right? The kid wants ice cream. The grandparent wants to give ice cream. The parents are like, not enough time for ice cream, like, you know. But the grandparents and the grandchildren are always, you know, they're in cahoots on the side, working stuff out. So look, so he has everything. Hashem Berech Sam Bakol, he has everything. But then he says, what happened? Again, what's the context here? He says, but I need to go get Yitzchak married off. Why? I thought you had everything. He has kol chem das adam in the words of the Ramban. V'hizkir akasav zeh lemor ki ayasholim bakol. The pasuk is telling us Avram had it all. Lo chaser davar zulasi shiira banim livno. The only thing he had not yet seen yet was that his child should have a child. Grandchildren, the gift of grandchildren. Sheinchalu ma'alasa uchvodo, that there should be continuity. In other words, right, like it says in Kohelis, a three-ply cord is not easily severed. So when you have three generations, grandparent, child, and grandchild, right, so there's a sense of hamsheichius, you know, of continuity. Sheinchalu ma'alasa uchvodo. I want to see that it's going to pass on from one generation to the next. V'lachein hisavaleza. And that's what Avram was hoping for in these psukim. Now, there are other traditions about what the word bakol means. So far we said bakol, according to Rashi, means he had a son. According to Ramban, he had everything, with the exception of grandchildren, which is the context of these psukim. But look at this. L'rabuseinu b'zeh inyan nifla. Rabbis revealed to us a deep secret. Amru b'basra tezayin amud beiz, the Gemara says, v'ashem b'rachasavim bakol, Rabbi Meir Omer Shalo Haisalo Bas. He had a ben, mashma, he didn't have a bas. He had a son, but he didn't have a daughter. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Bas Haisalo. Hashem blessed Avram with everything. Everything means not just boys, but also girls. He had a daughter. Acherim Omrim, you ready for this one? If you've never heard this before, you're going to fall off your seat. If you've heard it before, you're still going to fall off your seat because it's such a strange opinion. Acherim say in the Gemara, Bas Haisalo. Uvakol Shema. Avram had a daughter, and her name was Bakol. Hashem beirachas Avram, Bakol. Hashem blessed Avram with a daughter whose name was Bakol. That was her name. No? What do you say, Remendel? What do you say? You hear? You had a big smile when we said it. So I feel like you have a chiddush on this. You have a chiddush on this?
Yeah.
Acher Omer Bas Haislam. Not only did he have a daughter, but this was her name. Hashem blessed Avram Bakol. With a daughter whose name was Bakol. You know any girls named Bakol? David, you met a girl named Bakol? No, it's a beautiful name. It's the daughter of Avram Avinu. Why not? Darash Rabbi Meir. Shalo Haisalo Bas La Avraham. Vizolo Levracha. So hold on a second. Let's work through this for a second. Again, these psukim were describing how Avram was successful. So your mayor says he didn't have a daughter, and that's a success. Now, before you get any terrible ideas in your head, let's keep reading. Because if Avram has a daughter, he has a problem, which is what? Who's he going to marry her to? Who's he going to marry her to? He's going to marry her to the local chevra. He's making Eliezer swear not to take a local Kanani. And if Yishlachena la'artzo, and if you send back to the old country to marry by the mishpacha, exactly what Eliezer is doing to what? To go find a Rivka to marry Yitzchak. But you know what the problem is? Why does it work to go find a Rivka? You know why it works? Because where does Rivka go? She comes back and enters into what?
Avram's.
Into Avram's world. Into the world of monotheism. Right? She leaves her wicked father's home. She leaves her wicked brother's home. She leaves her wicked community, right? And she comes and she enters into the holy spiritual aura of Avram and Yitzchak. But what happens if Avram has a daughter? She can't marry the local chevra, they're no good. If they send her off to get married,
she stays there.
So Then gamkein ta'avod sham avodah zarah kamosam. Then she's going to get pulled back into that avodah zarah society. Again, the advantage of the old country, right, the advantage of going back to the mishpacha, and again, the Drash Os Haran talks about this in a famous passage, that what? At least they had good midos. They seem to have good midos. Whatever that means, you have to analyze that also. Right? But better to have midos and avodah zarah than to have what? Than to have bad midos. That's part of the lesson of Avram sending Eliezer. Don't marry local. These Canaan, they're bad people. People over there, they're good people. They've got wrongful, you know, religious values. But at least they're fine people. But the problem is, again, if you go there and you pluck out a Rivka, she's a tzedekas, right? It's a diamond in the rough. But if you send your daughter to over there, then she's going to stay over there. And she may be a nice person, but she's going to have avodah zarah practices. So, says Rabbi Meir, Avram was blessed by not having a daughter. So he wouldn't have to engage in this whole problem. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Ki ha'isha b'risho zbala, because a woman follows her husband's menhagim. Va'avram lo yachpot, shiyetze zaro ha'kosher, misari ishto chutzalaretz. And Avram didn't want that his children should go out, right? Should leave. Va'af ki avodah zarah, all the more so he didn't want them to become idol worshippers. Okay, so Hashem spared Avram the tzaris of making a shidduch for his daughter. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Rabbi Yehuda darash ki bas haysalo, that he had a daughter as well, dafilu berata lo chasare rachmana, that he wasn't lacking anything, and not lacking anything means he has to have all of life's experiences. He was blessed with a daughter. Vihi habracha bakol, and that was a bracha, an all-encompassing bracha, ki hayu lo kol asher yachmedu anashim lo chaser davar. What to do about the shidduch? I don't know. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't address that. But he says it can't be that Avram didn't have a daughter. And a person wants to have all of life's experiences. So Avram was blessed with sons. He had a daughter as well. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Come along Acherim. And what do Acherim say? Not only did he have a daughter, her name was Bakol. Uvao Acherim v'izkiru shem habas. Uve emes she'en hakavana la'acherim. V'amachlokes lehem im Rabbi Yehuda. Not that the Acherim are coming along and they're just saying that her name was actually Bakol. Again, think about what we're talking about here for a second. What does the Pasuk say? Forget everything we just said. Go back to the Pasuk. God blessed Abraham with everything. So now you're saying what? Everything means he had a daughter? Right? That's everything. So it's a nice Dvar Torah. If you know someone who had a baby girl this week, their first child, you could say, now you have everything. Right? Shem blessed Adam with everything. According to the Gemara, that means, yeah, according to one opinion, he had a daughter. The Ramban says that you're doing a disservice to the fullness and the cloliestic nature of Avram's bracha by limiting it in this way. And therefore, the Ramban goes on, al pi Kabbalah, and says a lot of stuff, which we're not going to read inside now, but just to show you, about Acherim chidshu beferash hakasav hazeh inyan amok ma'od, vidarshu bezeh sod misodos haTorah. There's a deep secret here, that Bakol is merames al inyan gadol. Bakol is a big thing. Bakol is a big thing, and especially if you're telling me that Bakol is the name of Avram's daughter, that's a big thing. Now, Chavra, I don't think it's our place right now to try to spend the rest of the morning learning this Ramban. There's a lot going on here. But let me just tell you a little bit, okay? Let's call it Chassidus, not Kabbalah, so we don't get in trouble. Let's learn a little Chassidus. Yeah? We know there are 10 Sfiros. We know there are 10 Sfiros. Okay, what are the bottom two Sfiros called? Yesod and Malchus. Okay? Another name for Yesod is what? Is Kol. Chaf Lamed, Kol. Where do we see that? I'll show you that you already know this. Lecha Hashem haGedula, vaGevura, vaTiferes, vaNetzach, vaHod, Ki Kol baShamayim uvaAretz. Okay, what is Ki Kol? Merame is to the sphere of Yesod. What's the gematria of the word Ki Kol? Ki is 30, Kol is 50. 30 plus 50 is 80. 80 is gematria Yesod. Ki Kol baShamayim. In other words, somehow the relationship between Yesod and Malchus is the relationship between what? Between Shemayim and Aretz. Maybe to say it differently, between Mashbi and Makabel. If we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending down all of his energy to this world, right, everything is filtering down through Yesod, and then Yesod is able to sort of give it over to the Aretz. It's the male-female relationship. Yesod is connected to the Bris Milah. When a man impregnates a woman, right, so he's taking his Zara, he's being Mashpia his Zara, she's Makabalet, and then she's able to create something new. So the relationship between Yesod and Malchus, that all of that energy that, so to speak, coming down from above should have somewhere that it can be received properly, is really the, you know, the essence on a certain level of connecting the heavens and earth. And that's really what Avram is doing. It's interesting. He has a daughter whose name is Bakol. You understand what that means? Kol is Yesod. A daughter, right? The feminine of the spheros is Malchus, the lowest sphero that collects everything that comes from above. So the secret, again, of this idea of having a daughter whose name is Bakol is sort of how Avram somehow is zochet to what? To really unite Shemayim and Aretz. And that's really what we find, Mamish, right here. Right? That it refers to what? Avram says to Eliezer, Va'ashbiyacha b'Hashem, Elokei Hashemayim, Elokei Aretz. I swear, I force you to take an oath in the name of what? In the name of God, who is the God of the heavens and the God of the earth. In Pasuk Zion, a few Pesukim later, when Avram reflects back on his earlier years, he says, when Hashem Elokei Hashemayim took me from my father's house. What does Rashi say? He doesn't say Elokei Haaretz. Because for most people, Chaver, listen carefully, most people look at God as out there. Elokei Hashemayim. Avram says, when I was in my father's house, I only knew about a God out there. But now Avram says, now I understand what? Eliezer, now I'm a person who lives differently. I understand the relationship between Shemayim and Aretz. I understand Dira B'Tachtonim. I understand, Avram says, I understand how to bring Hashem into this world. And that's the ultimate. That's Hashem Berach Asar Bakol. I understand how Yesod and Malchus unite. Yesod and Malchus could also be Hashem and us. Right? Hashem blessed Avram with that connection that permeated all of his life. Again, when I grew up, Avram says, I heard about a God who was somewhere out in the heavens. But now, I've come to know that he's not just a God of the heavens, he's a God of earth. That's called bringing Hashem's light down into this world. So that's a lot of what the Ramban is discussing here. Again, there's a lot more here. But that's the deep secret of Bakol, of having a daughter named Bakol. It's the relationship between Yesod and Malchus, between the upper realms and the lower realms, and that was Avram's ultimate achievement. Hashem Beirach Hasam Bakol. Avram made the link. Right? The word Beirach, think about the word Beirach. Beis, Reish, Chaf. 220. 2, 2, 2. It's all, right? Mavriach means what? To be Mavriach means to graft. When I take a tree, a branch from one tree, and I attach it to another tree. Beirach always means connection. So Hashem Beirach Hasam Bakol. Hashem gave Avram the ability to unite Shemayim v'Aretz. And that's really, that was Avram's ultimate achievement. He taught the world about God. And God out there. When I grew up, he says in Pasuk Zion, Hashem Elokei Hashemayim took me from my father's house. But now he's talking to Eliezer in his current worldview. Hashem Elokei Hashemayim ve'Elokei Haaretz. Uniting heaven and earth. That's really the bracha of Avram Avinu. Okay, I know I'm saying a lot of different things, but hopefully it's... You're grasping a lot of it. Yeah, I'm sure you wanted to say something. In terms of? Right. Right, to say just the Ben. Right, is also limiting. Yeah. Yeah, there's something bigger here. But again, having this Ben also, yeah, there's a lot more to extract there. Yeah. So they say, yeah. Right? I guess so. According to that opinion, yeah. Yeah. Although it could be he kept the Torah according to Beis Shammai, and he had two sons, so maybe that's enough. The world was supposed to originally be a Shammai world. Bereshis bara Elokim, Midas Adin. We live in a Beis Hillel world, so we paskin a son and a daughter. But it could be Avram was tapping into mitzvos in a more essential way. So maybe that's part of this discussion also. Who knows, man? We're trying. I don't know. All right, I want to get to two more. Let's get to two more. Let's talk a little more about the greatness of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Perech Avdal Lipasa Gimel, Elokei HaShemayim VeElokei HaAretz. Let's sing the praises of the Holy Land. However, you should move to Eretz Yisrael. That's my advice too. Okay, you see Elokei HaShemayim VeElokei HaAretz?
It's on page.
Pasuk Gimel.
Third paragraph on page Kof. Again, this is how Avram. This is how Avram looks at the world. And this is what he says, Eliezer, I want you to swear in the name of the God of the heavens and the God of the earth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yikare Elokei Eretz Yisrael. Hashem is called the God of Eretz Yisrael. What's the Ramban answering? He's answering the same question I just mentioned from Rashi on Pasuk Zion. Why in Pasuk Zion does Avram call Hashem Elokei HaShemayim only? And why over here, right, is he referring to him as Elokei HaShemayim VeElokei HaAretz? Because Avram is talking about Eretz Yisrael. When Avram talks about his origin, his birthplace, whether it was Haran or Kastim, Avram's talking about living in Turkey or in Iraq. Right? So over there, it's just Elokei HaShemayim. God's out there. But in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem is the God of the earth. It says there, Ramban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yikari Elokei Eretz Yisrael. Where does Hashem, so to speak, manifest His presence most directly? In Eretz Yisrael. Kidechsev lo yadu es mishpat Elokei HaAretz. And furthermore, it says in Divrei Hayamim, V'yedabru el Elohei Yerushalayim ke'al Elohei Ame Ha'aretz. V'yesh b'zesod. And there's a deep secret here. Od achtevenu be'ezras Hashem, which we'll talk about more in Achrei Mos. I'll tell you very quickly what he says in Achrei Mos. In Achrei Mos, he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu assigns ministering angels to watch over all of the lands. So there's a malach in charge of America. In charge? What does that mean? In charge? What does that mean? That means Hashem, I can't talk to Hashem in America. I have to make an appointment with the Malach to talk to Hashem. I don't know what it means exactly. But it means that in Eretz Yisrael, it's direct communication with Hashem. There's no Malach in charge of Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly being Moshe over Eretz Yisrael. Hashem sets up some type of system, whatever that means, in Chutz La'aretz. And therefore, aval b'pasuk asher l'kachani mibeis avi lo nemar bo elokei haaretz. So when Avram reflects back to his origin, wherever he's from, again, somewhere outside of the land of Israel originally, so he only doesn't refer to Hashem as the God of the Aretz. Ki hayu b'charon obor kastim. Because he was in Charon, which again, maybe somewhere in, I don't know, modern Turkey. He was in Ur Kastim, maybe somewhere in modern day Iraq. He was not in Eretz Yisrael. So in those places, God was like this out there idea. You don't feel it like you feel it in Eretz Yisrael. You feel Hashem in the Aretz in Eretz Yisrael. You walk footsteps in Eretz Yisrael, you feel the presence of Hashem. Vekach Amru, and that's what the Gemara in Ksuba says, such a painful Gemara for us to read. Hadar b'chutz la'aretz doma kamisha ein lo eloha. A person who lives in chutz la'aretz is like a person who doesn't have a God because of this disconnect that exists in Chutz La'aretz. Shenemar kegershuni hayom mistapeach benachlas Hashem leimor leich avod Elohim achirim. David HaMelech says to Shaul, you're chasing me away, essentially telling me to go worship idols. Leaving Eretz Yisrael is like is a form of idol worship. There's a tumah in Eretz Ha'amim, in Chutz La'aretz. Okay? So you have to appreciate, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a nice conceptual idea in Chutz La'aretz, but when you're in Eretz Yisrael, on a very simple level, you don't have to even understand it as like a lofty spiritual reality. It's a very practical reality. When you live in Eretz Yisrael, you're putting all your chips in. You're investing in the Jewish future. Right? You're more bakelim. Chutz La'aretz, we talk about God. You know, it's very abstract. And as you saw, it's very Lamaisa. It's very Lamaisa. It's a different thing in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. A little chizuk for Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Chaver, let's end with the following. Okay, just a couple of minutes left, but let's turn to Perech Chaf Hei Pasuk Ches. And let's learn about Avram reflecting on the entirety of his life. And I'm going to go on up a little tangent just for a couple of minutes. Perech Chaf Hei Pasuk Ches. The Torah recaps the life of Avraham. Ve'eli Yemei Shnei Chai Avraham. Asher Chai Ma'as Shana V'Shivim Shana V'Chameish Shanim. See, again, the Torah speaks that way all the time. 100 years and 70 years and 5 years. Avram lived to 175. Pasuk Ches. Vayigva. Vayamas. Avraham V'Seva Tova. Zokain V'Savei. Vayei Osef El Amav. Avram passed away at a ripe old age, right? B'seva tova. Zakein, he was old, v'savea. And he was satisfied. Zakein v'savea. V'chalta v'savata. He was satisfied with his life. V'yeyasef elamav, and he was gathered to his people. Okay, perachav hei pasuches. So first of all, just so you know, the Ramban discusses that whenever the Torah says v'yigva, that lashon of passing away, is a lashon that's reserved for tzaddikim. So says the Ramban, what are you talking about? We find it by the Mabel, Vayigva. We find it in other places. So Ramban says, no, let me just clarify. Vayigva means a sudden death. The advantage of a sudden death means you didn't get sick and you didn't suffer. And when tzaddikim pass away, with ripe old age, where they're healthy, they didn't get sick and suffer, right? That's called Vayigva, a sudden death. The Mabel was also a sudden death. But that was not a holy death. If you have a vayigva, and like the end of the pasuk, vayei osef elamav, if you die suddenly and you're gathered to your people, that's the Torah's way of expressing the death of a tzaddik. But vayigva, a sudden death, on the one hand, it's similar to Misa Tzaddikim in that there was no suffering, but it could also be a big punishment. Like the Mabel, they got wiped out instantaneously. That wasn't a holy death. Okay, so the Ramban just clarifies. But that's the definition of vayigva. But what does it mean? What does it mean? Zakein v'saveya. What does it mean that Avram was old and satisfied? So, Chaver, listen to this Ramban. Take a look. Shira'a kol mishalos libo v'sava kol tova. Gevaldik. All of his desires were met, and he was satisfied with all of the goodness. Right? Hashem beruch Avram b'kol. Sof kol sof. Avram had it all. V'chein u'sava yamim. Satisfied with his days. Shesava nafsho biyamav. That his soul was satisfied with his life. That's a big bracha, by the way. It's not a small thing. I just read in the Sefer that someone said that he went to an old age home and he asked people, do you have more regret for the things that you did in your life or the things that you didn't do in your life? He said the overwhelming majority of people said, I have more charata about the things that I didn't do in my life. I made some mistakes along the way. I regret those also. But I have more regret for the things that I didn't do with my life. I didn't enjoy with my life. Avram says, I don't have any regrets. I enjoyed my life. I had it all. V'lo yisavesh yechadshu bo hayamim davar. He didn't desire to have what? To have more days. Now obviously, if we're talking spiritually, we always want more days. More Torah, more mitzvos. So the fact that Avram was totally satisfied, it must be talking about his gashmias. He had everything he could desire in gashmias. Like it says about David as well. He had everything that he desired. And the point of telling us this is twofold, says the Ramban. First of all, it tells us that what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the tzaddikim everything that they need. But more than that, it's also praising who? It's praising Avram. That Avram was able to appreciate all that he was given. Umida tova bahem, and it also says, again, on the one hand, it's Hashem's generosity to give Avram everything, but it's also Avram's ability to appreciate what he's given. Mida tova bahem, it's the good mida of a tzaddik, sholo yisavu b'moseros. To not want excessive things. To not want extra things. Ki inyan shenemar bahem, tavas libo nasata lo. In other words, Hashem met the expectation of Avraham fully, but Avraham also set a reasonable expectation in terms of wanting the important things in life. And he had a lot. He had a lot of wealth, and he had a lot of reputation. He had children. He had grandchildren. He was zochet to a lot of things. That's the way of a tzaddik. V'lo kamo shenemar b'shar ha'anashim, concludes the Ramban, not like other people, about which Kohelet said, oiv kesef lo yispa kesef. A person who has money is never satisfied with money. That's Ephron, the world of wanting more. Or like it says in Kohelet's Rabba, ein adam yotze min ha'olam v'chati tavosa bi'adam. A person doesn't leave this world with even half his desires in his hand. Because what he wants is absurd. What he wants is crazy. Yesh b'yado manam is ava lasosa masayim. If he has 100, he wants 200. Hisiga yado l'masayim. If he gets 200, is ava lasosa arba meos. He wants 400. He's never happy. Shenemar oev kesef lo yispa kesef. Avram Avinu didn't live that way. Avram was satisfied, and because he had, again, a reasonable expectation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him everything that he could possibly desire. So let me just end, for just a couple of minutes, sharing some extremely interesting things about Ephron versus Avram. Because that's sort of what we have here. We have Ephron on the one hand, Oev Kesef, Lo Yispa Kesef. We have Ephron who keeps asking for more and more. He pretends he's very generous, but he keeps actually raising the stakes on Avram. And then you have Avram, who's what? Who's so happy with what he has. Who's so satisfied with what he has. And that's the praise of Avram Avinu. So, Chevra, if you look, and again, you may not have it in front of you, but back in the very beginning, when Avram's negotiating with Ephron. So, Vayishma Avraham el Ephron, Perachav Gimel Pasuk Tezayin. Listen to this. Avraham listens to Ephron, Chav Gimel Tezayin. Vayishkol Avraham le Ephron as a kesef asher diber bazne b'nei ches. And he gives him the amount of money that he requested. Arba meos shekel kesef over la socher. 400 shekel kesef, high quality coins. Over la socher means high quality coins. So you'll notice, if you're paying close attention, that Ephron's name is spelled throughout Aleph, Ayin, Pei, Resh, Vav, Nun. But all of a sudden, when Avram goes to pay Ephron, all of a sudden what happens? His name is spelled Ayin, Pei, Resh, Nun. Why? 400. Says the Baal HaTurim, the Vav of Ephron's name is suddenly missing. Why is the Vav of Ephron's name suddenly missing? Says the Baal HaTurim, says the Chizkuni, explaining the Mefarshim, Chaser Vav, because Ayin, Pei, Reish Nun is Gematria 400. And Ephron's true colors came out when he charged Avram, what? When he charged Avram 400 for this plot of land. Okay? But the Kli Yakar on this Pasuk has a lot to say. You know this whole Sugya? You know the Sugya 400? How do you know it?
Because I listened to the Ishkoich that you last week.
We spoke about this?
Yeah, Ayin Yach and Esau.
Oh, very good. Okay, where else do we have 400 in the Torah? There's a few places in the Torah where the number 400 appears. Number one, we have it over here by Ephron. Where else do we have the number 400 in the Torah? By Esav, he comes with his 400 men. Esav comes with his 400 men, and Esav says, right, a little bit jealous of Yaakov. Yaakov says, Yesh li kol. I'm like Avram, I have everything. Bakol, mikol, kol. Each of the Avos felt they had it all. What does Esav say? What does Esav say? Yesh li rav. I have a lot, but I don't feel like I have it all. I don't feel like I have it all. Right? The number 400, again, becomes a code word for either being fully satisfied or fully dissatisfied. Why? Because 400 is tough. It's the last, right? Aleph Beis Gimel Daled. Tough is the last letter. Tough and Gematria is 400. In other words, I feel like I have Aleph through tough. I have it all. Right? Or, what I'm saying is that, no, I feel like I don't have it all. So Yaakov says to Esav, Yesh li kol. What's the Gematria of Yesh li kol? Yesh is 310. Li is 40. And kol is 50, so 400. Yesh li kol. Yaakov says, Yesh li kol, I have 400. Esav comes with his 400 men and he says, Yesh li rav. Esav, what's the problem, man? Because Esav has the midah, unlike Yaakov, who says, I have everything. I have an ayin tov. Esav has an ayin ra. What's the gematria of ayin ra? How much is ayin? 130. How much is ra? 270. What's ayin ra? 400. It's the world of Ephron. It's the world of Esav. It's the world of being stingy. It's the world of not being satisfied. It's the world of not appreciating what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you. And therefore, why does he lose the letter Vav? Not just to make the gematria work out, but says the Kli Yakar, listen to this. The Kli Yakar says, the Gemara says in Bava Basra, Daf Tesam Adbez, Kol Hanosein Pruta La'ani, anyone who's generous and gives tzedakah, gives his money to others, Mizbarech B'sheish Brachos. He's given 6 brachos. So why does Ephron lose his Vav? Because he doesn't give to others. He's very stingy. He takes from others. So he loses the Vav, so to speak. The Vav brachos that are given to the one who's what? Who gives generously to others. Then the Kli Yakar quotes a Gemara in Sota, Lamed Chesam and Beis. Who should lead the benching? Who should get the Kos Shel Bracha? Says the Gemara in Sota, Ein Nosnin Kos Shel Bracha Kiyim L'Tov Ayin. We give a Kos Shel Bracha to a person who's Tov Ayin. Why? Because the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Tov Ayin Hu Yivorach. The Gemara says, don't read it Yivorach, read it Yivarech. The person with the good eye should lead the benching. Yivarech, he should lead the benching. Right? But the Pasuk really says Yivorach. Right? Yivorach, with the Vav. Why? Because he's the person who deserves the Vav. He's willing to what? To give generously to others. Okay? So if Esav is the world of Ayin Ra, and that's why he comes with 400 men, what is the world of Yaakov Avinu, who says Yesh Likol? Yaakov is what? Is Ayin Tov. What's the gematria of Ayin Tov?
147.
What's the significance of 147? That's the number of years Yaakov Avinu lived. Yaakov Avinu's whole life is Ayin Tov. Esav's whole life is Ayin Ra. Ephron is Ayin Ra. Right? Ephron is the stinginess. Gevaldik. How long were the Jewish people in Galus by the Bris Bein HaBesarim? And what is Hashem saying? You're going to go into a place for 400 years, right? Which we start counting from the birth of Yitzchak. Hashem Beirach Hasar and Bakol, he had a ben. Yeah, those 400 years. Until eventually we come to the Geula. When we come to the Geula, who's going to be the one to save us? Who's going to be the one to announce that the Geula is coming? Eliyahu HaNavi Zachor Latov. Why do we call him Eliyahu Navi Zachor Letov? Right? Trying to be ma'or that inyan of Ayin Tov. Trying to reawaken that inyan of Ayin Tov. By the way, there's another nakuda to Ayin Ra. It's not just being stingy, but it's not using our eyes in the right way. What does Esav notice immediately when he comes to Yaakov? Vayaris Hanashim. He notices the women. What is Yaakov doing? He's literally hiding. He's hiding his wives behind. He's trying to like protect. So Esav doesn't try to steal his wives, right? Which is part of an old problem, the whole Rachel Leah business. Yeah? But Esav's got his eye on the Nashim. What's the gematria of Nashim? Nun, Shin, Yud, Mem? 400. He's got his eyes on the Nashim. Okay? So who has a good eye who has a proper attitude to stopping problems with Nashim? Who became Eliyahu? Which person in the Torah becomes Eliyahu? You know about this? Pinchas becomes Eliyahu, right? Pinchas becomes Eliyahu. Pinchas, the one who broke up what that illicit, immoral relationship between Kozbi and Zimri. Yeah. What does the pasuk say by Pinchas? Vayamod Pinchas. Pinchas got up. Anyone parshas Pinchas? Vayamod Pinchas vayifalel. Vayifalel. It should say vayispalel. What happened to the taf? Why is there a taf missing in the word vayispalel? Where did that taf go? You know where the taf went? Because Pinchas was trying to mitake in the letter taf. He was trying to make sure that there wouldn't be a wrongful, you know, behavior with Nashim. It was part of that tikkun of the Ayin Ra of Esav. And because that Pinchas becomes Eliyahu Hanavi Zachor Latov. What's the gematria of Eliyahu Hanavi Zachor Latov? 400, wow. Natanel Rafael, you're on fire today. You are a math whiz. That's right. That's right. That's correct. By the way, who else in the Torah is very good at guarding his eyes from looking at wrongful women? Yosef HaTzadik. Right? Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik. It's a lot to do with Hanukkah. Hanukkah's coming up, friends. Gotta start getting ready. You look at the menorah, you fix your eyes by staring at the lights of the menorah. Right? Hanukkah is the Yom Tov of Yosef HaTzadik. Yeah. So the pasuk says, "V'haya Beis Yaakov le'esh, Beis Yosef lahava." Yosef's like a flame. Yosef's the fire. "U'Beis Esav lekash." Right? Esav's like straw. That's easily consumed by what? By the fire. By the holy fire of Yaakov. By the holy fire of Yosef. Yeah, that was the gematria of kash. Kofshin. 400. Right? Because when we guard our eyes, we're able to destroy the 400 400 men of Esav. Yeah. So we should be zocha to rise above all of these nisyonos. Ephron is 400. Right? Esav comes with 400 men. Hakol kol Yaakov v'hayadayim. No? Yidei Esav. Do you want to have Yidei Esav? I hope not. You want to have kol Yaakov. You don't have Yidei Esav. What's the gematria of Yidei Esav? 400, very good. Yidei is how much? Yud, Dalid, Yud, 24. Esav is 376, is 400. Kvaldik. Kvaldik. And this is the tikkun for the 400 years, which really were in Mitzrayim, which is Erev HaSa'aretz, a place that's of Arayos, where Yosef, again, was misgaber on all of these things. Okay? So to combat the Ayin Ra, we have to be Ayin Tov, or what we call elsewhere... What we call elsewhere, Tahor Einayim. Tahor Einayim. To have pure eyes. How much is Tahor in Gematria? Tahor Einayim. We're supposed to be people of Tahor Einayim. Purity of eyes. How much is Tahor? Tahor is 220. How much is Einayim?
180.
Put them together. Tahor Einayim is 400. That's right, because if you're Tahor Einayim, then you combat the Ayin Ra. Okay? Seder Gamor, anything else you want to add to this? Einayim, no. Ayin, Yud, Nun, Yud, Mem. Einayim. I'll say one last thing. The Medrash says that Ephron was Nivhal Lahon. Again, when you get busy with money, you can't stop. Like it takes over. You have no Yishuvah Das. Nivhal is Bahala. Bahala means like you're anxious, right? It's Haman also, he's always counting his money. That's Yadayim Yidei Esav. It's the world of Yidei Esav, 400. You're always busy counting your money. Right? The Gemara says that Haman had like his ledger in front of him at all times. He was very busy with his money. A person of Yishuv Adas doesn't fall into this trap. So there's a Gemara, there's an interesting Gemara in Maseches Shabbos, Daf Lamed Amid Beis, onto Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph. Where two guys made a bet to see if they can get Hillel HaZaken angry. Remember this Gemara? You heard this Gemara? They made a bet. They're going to show up at Hillel's house. This guy said, "I'll bet you that I can get Hillel angry." He did all these annoying things to try to get Hillel to lose his cool. To be Nivhal. He showed up on Arab Shabbos, right? He kept pulling Hillel out of the bath to ask him really pressing questions, like, you know, Pikuach Nefesh questions. Then he would ask him weird things. Why do people who live in a certain area have squinty eyes? That's what you came to ask me right now? As I'm taking a bath for Arab Shabbos. But he kept cool. Hillel kept cool. Yeah. And then he came back, he knocked on the door again, like Hillel puts on his bathrobe, comes running downstairs. Why do people in Africa have flat feet? Sorry, that's really what you need to ask me right now? That's why you're banging on my door on Arab Shabbos like a crazy person. But Hillel stayed calm. Hillel stayed calm and the guy lost the bet. Take a look at that Gemara, Maseches Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph. You know how much money the bet was for? 400 zuz. You know why? Because, again, the world of 400 is, do I have patience or do I lose my cool? Esav. Esav's always anxious. Ephron. Ephron's trying to play it cool, but he's mamish. He's super uptight. He's like trying to control. And Aram's like, whatever you want. I don't care. Yeshli kol. Hashem berach asam bakol. You want 400? Take 400. Ephron reveals himself at the end. He's Ephron without the vav. He's megala that he just wants to take from Aram. He's pretending, oh, I'm so generous. I want to give you nasi alokim atabas ochenu. He just wants to take from him. The world of being anxious and bahala, being too concerned and too controlling, is the world of Yadayim Yadei Esav. The world of Eliyahu Nabi Zachor Latov, the world of Avram Avinu, right, the world of Ayin Tov, of Yaakov Avinu, of Yeshli Kol, right, that whole world is Yishuv Adas. So I'll just end. That's why the Gemara in Erevin talks about Rav Preda and his Talmud. Remember Rav Preda and his Talmud? How many times did Rav Preda have to teach his Talmud in order for him to get it? 400 times. He taught him 400 times. One time, he was teaching him, and it didn't go well. So he asked him, what happened? Why didn't it go well? He said, because Rebbe, I saw you were a little anxious to leave. So the whole time I felt like you didn't really want to be here. So I wasn't able to concentrate. So he said, you know what, I apologize. Let's learn it 400 times again. So it's a choice. 400 is a choice. Right? 400 is yeshli kol, olive through tough, I have everything. Right? Or it's a feeling where like I get to the end and I'm still not satisfied. I have 1,000, I want 2,000. I have 2,000, I want 4,000. Okay, so we should be zocha to appreciate. Again, as descendants of Avram Avinu, yesh lanu kol. We should be zocha to have the eyes of Avram, the eyes of Yaakov Avinu. Okay, take a look at the Kli Yakar though, in this week's parsha. He puts the whole thing together for us. A lot of what we just said.